Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Tomorrow night, 40-year-old world boxing champion Floyd Mayweather Jr. steps out of retirement to face off with 26-year-old mixed martial arts superstar Conor McGregor in a highly anticipated boxing match in, where else? Sin City, Las Vegas. The fight was preceded by a four-city trash-talking tour where McGregor was criticized for using racially charged language and taunting his opponent, while Mayweather's domestic abuse past was largely ignored. The two fighters are expected to make tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars off the spectacle. Khalifa Saneh is a staff writer for The New Yorker who's written about the fight. Welcome, Khalifa.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So when Floyd Mayweather announced he was retiring in 2015, you wrote an article questioning whether it was truly the end. Well, now he's back. Was this what you expected for a comeback?
No, it's not what I would have expected because it's ludicrous. Now, Floyd Mayweather is known for picking ludicrous fights. He's figured out that in boxing, no one's in charge. There's no structure. No one's in control. So if you're a popular fighter, you can literally handpick your opponent and then beat him. So Floyd Mayweather is always looking for the opponent that poses the lowest amount of risk and the highest amount of reward. And Conor McGregor, who's a famous star in mixed martial arts, which some non-fans think of as cage fighting or UFC. He's really famous, really popular, and not a professional boxer. So it's hard to imagine someone who would bring more reward and less risk to the table than Conor McGregor.
Wow. Well, tell us, for people who haven't been paying attention, about the lead up to this fight. There are all racial overtones and a lot of profane encounters, and it's sort of become almost like some kind of celebrity match, too.
And this is a boxing tradition, right? When we think of Muhammad Ali, part of what we think of is him taunting his opponent before, afterwards, sometimes during the fight. When we think of Mike Tyson, we think of him saying, you know, I want to eat his children. We think of this idea that two fighters build up some animosity so that viewers feel like they're not just watching an athletic event, they're watching a grudge match.
Mm-hmm.
The problem here is that because Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor compete in different sports, they don't have any history of animosity. They don't know each other. What they really are is businessmen who are embarking on a very lucrative joint venture. So they had to somehow do something to try and amp up some tension. Conor McGregor is a sort of virtuoso loudmouth. And at one point when Floyd Mayweather was moving around the stage, he said, "Dance for me, boy." And then Floyd Mayweather at some point came back and accused Conor McGregor of racism. And in the course of doing that, Floyd Mayweather used an anti-gay slur and sort of had to apologize for that. So yes, it's a carnival, it's chaos, and you know, unlike some other forms of entertainment, you know, if you're on a primetime TV show, if you make the advertisers too angry or uncomfortable, they're going to pull the ads, maybe your show gets canceled. With something like this, this is going to be broadcast on pay-per-view. It's going to cost about $100. So what they want is they want everyone who might possibly buy the fight to buy the fight. And if the rest of the population, people that would never spend $100 to watch two guys hitting each other in the head, if all those people are sort of turned off, horrified, ashamed for their country, deeply offended, that doesn't matter to these two. And I think part of the genius of this promotion was that here are two guys who aren't afraid to be offensive. And here are two guys who are saying whatever they want, and there's not really any consequences because there's no one to punish them.
I have to ask you the meta question, which is, does this diminish the sport of boxing? There are so many boxing purists out there who will go back and look at, you know, the heyday of the sport. Does this take away from that history or from the legitimate boxers out there today who are being overshadowed by this spectacle?
I mean, boxing has long been this mixture of the high-minded and the sordid. And you know, back in the glory days of Muhammad Ali, a lot of people thought that that was somehow ruining, debasing, cheapening the sport. Certainly, a lot of the big Mike Tyson fights, especially the one everyone remembers where he took a bite, two bites, actually, out of Evander Holyfield's ear, that was a fiasco. And yet, that's a moment that we all remember. So The one thing about boxing is that if it were possible to kill boxing, it would be dead by now because people, especially boxers themselves, have been trying for a long time and failing.
Khalifa Sané is a staff writer for The New Yorker. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'll see you at the fight.
I'll be there in spirit.